Thanks for listening to the best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
Our long national nightmare is over. Even though it was just week one of the NFL preseason, there were 12 different games going on last night, 24 different teams in action, and there were a lot of early reads you could make based on what you saw on that field. Now, there have been a lot of people over the years who have overreacted to NFL preseason. Oh, this team looks unstoppable. If you'll remember, the 0-16 Detroit Lions started off 4-0. One of the least reliable aspects of anything surrounding the NFL is what happens in the preseason. With that in mind, I thought there were several things that I noticed over the course of those 12 games. I'm also going to ask you to have your most outlandish overreactions based on how your team, how your players did. What stood out to you? I'll give you the phone number, 877-996-6369. If some of you are new, on Monday editions of Outkick, we usually don't have any guests because we have so many games to react to during football season, both college and pro. And so I've got a lot to say. We usually let you guys have a lot to say as well. But I'm going to run through what to me kind of stood out the most from last night's preseason action. First of all, Andrew Luck is back. I think from a total just football fan perspective, it was great to see Andrew Luck back out on the field. He went 6 for 9, 64 yards after missing all of last season. That was pretty fantastic. Deshaun Watson got back coming off of an injury. But I don't think people were surprised to see Deshaun Watson out for a little bit of time. He was on the field a very short amount of time. But Andrew Luck, finally, after everything that was talked about last year, coming out and looking pretty decent. It's hard to judge anything again in the preseason, but him just being on the field, I thought, was a big deal. What about in that Browns-Giants game? First of all, Saquon Barkley, on the first carry of his career in the NFL, goes for, I think it was 38 yards. He only carried the ball four times, but everything on that play, and the poor Browns, the first play from scrimmage is that popped run. That is why I think he is going to be the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. I thought it before the four carries, before he popped one for 38 yards, incredible run. I think with Eli Manning there, eventually with Odell Beckham Jr., everything set up on that offense, I think that Saquon Barkley is going to make Eli Manning a lot better, and I think Saquon Barkley is going to be your NFL Rookie of the Year. But in that game, in addition to Saquon Barkley and how good he looked, we also got the debut of Baker Mayfield. And you know what? Baker Mayfield made some plays. Now, he wasn't playing against the starters. And Tyrod Taylor, we should mention, came out and went 5 for 5 for 99 yards and a touchdown. A perfect passer rating. So it's hard to argue that Baker Mayfield picked up a lot of ground. Mayfield went 11 for 20. Threw for 212 yards, two touchdown passes, made some pretty impressive throws. The thing about Baker Mayfield, if you believe that he's going to be a good NFL quarterback, is he's insanely accurate. He moves well in the pocket, even though he's not necessarily in any stretch of imagination an explosive athlete, but he moves well in the pocket and he is insanely accurate and he sees down the field well. And I know he wasn't playing against the starters, but there were early suggestions that that might well continue into the NFL. So if you are a Browns fan, I know there hasn't been a lot of reason for optimism over the last 32 games when you've gone 1-31, but I do think Tyrod Taylor was fabulous, and so, honestly, was Baker Mayfield pretty good. So I would be a little bit excited about that. In the Panthers-Bills game, we had NBA-level drama. Kelvin Benjamin said some things. I don't even remember exactly what he said during the offseason about Cam Newton. I need to bring in the crew and refresh myself about what he said. But Cam Newton confronted him in the pregame, and they had a long, drawn-out conversation between the two of them Cam wasn't on the field very much. Benjamin made a touchdown catch, dove into the crowd. But that in and of itself was pretty intriguing to watch. This is a big year for Cam Newton. And when you look at what happened coming out of the Super Bowl, Cam never looked like himself for that entire year. He's been okay since, but what is going to happen with Cam Newton? Has he peaked, or is there another level that he can get to? There's a lot of talent on that Carolina Panthers team. We'll have to see what ends up transpiring there. Couple of other games that I thought were somewhat interesting anyway. The 49ers and the Cowboys. Dak Prescott comes out, looks flawless, all right? That's something that you have to be really excited about if you are a Cowboys fan. Go down the field, score the touchdown. I know that it's just the preseason. Jimmy Garoppolo was just okay. And maybe that's the hangover from the porn stars. And I would say those are my biggest takeaways when you break down all of those different games running through all 12 of them. Now, open up the phone line, 877-996-6369. I also want to hear, I haven't heard the audio yet, but I want to hear from both Baker Mayfield and Andrew Luck, because I think they were the two biggest stories being on the field. Baker Mayfield for the first time in his NFL career, and Andrew Luck for the first time after being out for an entire year. Let's start with Andrew Luck. What did he have to say after the game?
Up early, couldn't sleep in the morning, got up, tried to make it as normal as possible, go on a walk, drink some espresso, hang out, have some meetings, a little workout in, and try to make it as normal as possible. And for a moment there, I was like, okay, how do I approach it, especially as leading up to the game? Trying to control my emotions, and I just sort of said, screw it, I'm gonna go out, whatever I want to think and I want to feel, I'm gonna feel it and let that happen. And it was a little bit like pressure was off of me. I really had fun. Like I really enjoyed it. I mean, like I've told you guys earlier, I didn't quite know how much fun if I would have this much fun again practicing football. And I didn't know if I'd have this much fun again playing football. And it's a preseason game, you know, I'm not gonna overblow anything or blow anything out of proportion, but it's still a game, and it's still a chance to go up against another colored jersey, and it was a fun step along the way.
If you're an NFL fan, you have to be really excited to see Andrew Luck back. He looked like one of the best young quarterbacks we were going to be able to watch for a decade or more, and last season got stolen away from us. If you're a Colts fan, I think this is by far the only story you should be paying attention to as the season gets closer and closer, so that was a great sign. Baker Mayfield gets out on the field, makes some throws, makes some plays, obviously has always been on the field with a great deal of swagger. What did he have to say after his first performance in a Browns uniform?
I think command of the whole offense in general, being able to say the play in the huddle and just slow it down for me, not having to think about the whole thing as I'm getting lined up, you know, see it and see what the defense is giving me. So I'm able to eliminate things quicker. And so that's what you really want to do when you're getting up to the line. The great quarterbacks are able to have that elimination process very quickly. They know exactly where they want to go with the ball, and then something happens, they can instantly go to that second read or whatever it is. So that's something I'm working on, but I think that's the biggest progress I've made.
It's Baker Mayfield. I should have also mentioned in the great quarterback race in Buffalo, and I mean that legitimately. I mean, there are three different guys who are all in the running. Nathan Peterman looked really, really good in getting the start. And Josh Allen flashes under 500, under 50% completion percentage. So if you were nervous about that beforehand, I'm not sure that anything changed there. He did have a couple of passes where you thought, my God, this guy's arm is unbelievable. And A.J. McCarron was pretty decent too. So the Bills probably have the most unclear quarterback picture of any team in the NFL right now, in that there are three guys who I think legitimately believe they could get a chance to start depending on how things go over the next month. It looks like, who knows? Who knows exactly what's going to happen? But in that Bills passing contest, all three guys were decent. Nobody was extraordinary and extraordinarily bad.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fred Siegel, he runs the Old Takes Exposed Twitter account. Lots of fun there. He also writes articles at outkick.com. And one of the things that sports fans are notorious for is overreacting to preseason performances. And I thought we would bring in Fred and find out some of the greatest hits out there that have been widely distributed over the years based on what happened in the preseason. Fred, I think we start with a pretty good one. The Detroit Lions, I believe, when they went 0-16 about a decade ago, were 4-0 in the preseason, and there was a lot of excitement. If you ever questioned how much the preseason matters, it would be that the Lions were 4-0 in the year that they went 0-16. You found that one. What did some people say about the Lions that year?
Well, Clay, the Lions were not supposed to do very well that season. They were coming off, I think, like a 4-12 season, 8-8. I don't remember what it was, but what happened was they went 4-0 in the preseason, and then a bunch of people thought they were going to make the playoffs afterwards. You should see the – and I posted it on my Twitter feed and in the article on OutKick that the Detroit Free Press sports page has a cover the day after they went 4-0 in the preseason. They won their last game. And it has a player making the safety signal, and it says perfection exclamation point. I think that was the last good thing that happened to the Lions that year. The last
what about,
piece of positive press.
What about players? There have been a lot of players who have come out and had great preseason total, also great preseason individual games. What were some of the best overreactions you found to individual player performances?
You got to look to the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns, here's the thing about the preseason, especially fans. I think people are really, really inclined to psychologically overreact and find positives as opposed to negatives. If a player looks bad or a team looks bad, they're willing to rationalize it and say, well, it's just the preseason. But if teams made changes, they're looking for positive things. So when a new quarterback comes in, like the Cleveland Browns had Jake Delhomme come in 2010, and they have a new quarterback, and he played really well his first two games of the preseason, and the fans were excited. They thought they were going to make the playoffs, and they didn't. And then 2011, Colt McCoy. Now, Colt McCoy, he played great last night. He is an amazing preseason player. That guy will get you so excited during the preseason. Now he's the backup. Brandon Whedon in 2013, the same. DeShone Kizer last year, the same. Interestingly enough, the Browns went 4-0 last preseason, too. So the only two 0-16 teams in the history of the NFL went 4-0 in the preseason.
That's an unbelievable statistic. I mean, it's hard to go 0-16, but the fact that both of them went 4-0 in the preseason, I don't know that you could ever hear anything that proves how little the preseason matters. So do you see now it seems like there's a counteraction where people are saying, because they've seen this happen over the years, where you overreact to what happens in the preseason, that no matter what happens, people don't want to say anything that positive or that negative based on the preseason because they know that there have been so many people exposed for overreacting?
Well, I do think that people have that in their mind, but they still believe after the first preseason game, especially when football has just come back and their juices are flowing and they're excited to see their players, that they still get excited. Like Baker Mayfield last night with the two touchdowns, that got Browns fans excited, no doubt. And we've seen it before with the Browns. But there is no question. And Saquon Barkley had a great run to start the game, a 36-yard run. That type of stuff gets people excited, especially because the highlights come floating in all around YouTube. Now, Josh Allen had one bad play where he was running backwards about 15 yards and looked like it was one of those blooper reels. And, of course, that's the play that's going around to prove that Josh Allen is a bust. So, especially with one single play that like could define a player's preseason or define a player's game, people still get excited.
It is interesting, too, about the preseason because during the regular season, we've got red zone or we've got the ability to sit down and watch a lot of different games. everybody out there who's listening to me right now had to watch whatever their local team is, and maybe you watched another game on the NFL Network or something, but it's relatively hard to have seen a ton of these different games without the highlight clips or even just going to look at the box score. And sometimes that can be a little bit confusing in terms of when was a guy playing, who was he playing against. You're a big college football fan. So do you believe in Baker Mayfield? If you were betting right now, do you think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback?
Yes, I love him. I just think he's got that. He's got that something about it, and that reinforced it last night. I'm biased because of the preseason.
Yes, and a lot of times, sports is ultimate where people make decisions. You know, you have an opinion, and then you go out and you try to look for evidence that would support it. And like you just said, if you believe that Josh Allen was drastically overrated, you can look at this stat line and say, okay, he went 9 for 19. He completed less than 50% of his passes. He had a couple of big throws where everybody said, man, look at the cannon on this guy. And then at the end of the game, he's basically kind of what we expected beforehand. Baker Mayfield, a lot of swagger. He played against, you know, second and third teamers, guys who typically are not going to be playing at a very high level in the NFL. You got the Tyrod Taylor race and everything else. Now, I'm curious about this with you. We're talking to Fred Siegel. He is at Old Takes Exposed. I encourage you to go follow him on Twitter. He also writes at OutKick. He does a lot of different things. You're also a former attorney. I was saying earlier on the show that if I was an executive at CBS, NBC, Fox, or ESPN, and our ratings were now down 20% over the last 2 years. You're down in South Florida. There were a couple of Dolphins players that kneeled. It's a CNN headline. It's one of the headlines on ESPN. People continue to cover it. What do you think about me if I were an executive coming out and telling my content guys, we're not doing this anymore? We covered it for 2 years. This is starting to significantly impact our business. As a collective group, we missed budget by over $600 million because ratings are down nearly 20% over the last 2 years. I'm a First Amendment guy and boobs guy. You know that. But I'm also a business guy. And at some point in time, if your business is detracting, you have to adjust. What would your thought be? Let's pretend that you work at one of those companies. And I am an executive, and I come in and I say, Fred Siegel, we're not covering any protests anymore because I think it's hurting our business and I don't think fans care. Good or bad move, how significant do you think that decision would be from your perspective?
Well, personally, I'm sick of the debate altogether. So I would agree with just not showing the anthem or not showing, maybe showing the anthem and just not showing the players, just doing anything to kind of, I would say, in terms of the highlight, in terms of the CBS, ESPN, I guess
anybody that has a and here's my distinction for people out there: anybody that has a league partnership is in bed effectively with the NFL. So if you are ripping the NFL, you are effectively cutting the legs out from underneath your business partnerships. It's like, why would you spend $1 billion on something and then light it on fire? That's effectively what the leagues, what the television partners are doing. They're lighting their investment on fire. And as a result, losing hundreds of millions of dollars. So I understand, like, if you're CNN or you're MSNBC or even if you're Fox News, whoever you are, if you're in the news business, you can choose whatever news stories you want to cover. But if I'm in the sports media business and my company has a relationship with the NFL, I am saying this is over. We're not covering it anymore.
It is a tough situation, though, because the push and the pull from everybody surrounding them, the politics inside the situation, is a lot more difficult than us just saying it to do it. But, I mean, at this point in time, that debate is tiring.
I don't think there's any doubt at all. You're in South Florida. Is the Miami Dolphin player protest? I mean, I know it's early in the morning there, but is that going to be...
I don't know. It's not going to be... From my perspective, I don't really pay attention to local news anymore. So
yeah,
but I could tell you this: the Dolphins have had players who have been involved in that prominently, and the owner, Stephen Ross, is I could tell right now that he's in a very tough spot there. He's kind of done a lot to show that he's done a lot for the, you know, social causes, or at least tried to put himself out there for it. But with the anthem, you could tell that he's kind of skittish about supporting that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It's all right. As we go forward for the rest of the preseason, what else would you tell people historically has been something they should pay attention to? Is there anything else in the old Texas Pros universe?
Well, I will post something today, but I tell you this. EJ Manuel, man, he was great. The quarterback out of FSU who was picked 15th in the draft, it was criticized highly, that pick. EJ Manuel was great. During his first two preseason games, just unbelievable. And there were a bevy of picks and of tweets and commentary about how great he was going to be because of those games. I'll post it on Outkick. And
my favorite, I'm sure you found this one too, Ryan Leaf and Peyton Manning played against each other, I think, right, in the preseason. And immediately people were judging that back in like 1998, I guess.
Yeah, Ryan Leaf won that game. And, you know, he wasn't even that great in it. But Peyton Manning looked like a deer in the headlights a lot of the time, especially the first half of his rookie season. He was playing on the awful Colts. And Leaf won a preseason game, and there was a headline that someone posted that Leaf out-duels Manning.
Ryan Leaf's probably got that up in his house, I would think.
Well, it was true at the time.
Yeah, no, exactly.
He did out-duel Manning in that game.
That is fantastic. Go follow him, Fred Siegel. You're going to have an article up on Outkick later today?
Yeah.
Awesome. We'll check it out. I'll share it. You can go find him at Old Takes Exposed. Fred Siegel used to be an attorney. Now he makes a living making sure that people don't say things too dumb when it comes to prognosticating in the world of sports.